Welcome to Flash TV Talk. I'm Bo. Wait, no, and that's not it. No, hang on, I messed it up.
I don't. And we're live.
Sorry, man. I felt like I had the words, and then somebody just came out of nowhere and just choked them right out of me. Hang on, let's go. All right.
You better be careful. You might want to file a restraining order against that person.
You'd think that would have any kind of help.
I
was about to say, okay, just making sure you saw number three before we jump into it later on in this episode.
There's a third one?
No, that was a third one. There was a second one.
I thought the second one.
Wait, the third one is a third one. The second one and the third one are the same one?
The second one resulted in the third one.
We're going to talk about it. Here we go.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more from the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, you doing okay, buddy? You sound a little dead, little storm brewing in your throat.
Yeah, that, and I'm right.
No, we're not doing that yet. No.
But yes, I am feeling a little dead, you could say.
For the record, man, I feel like I'm just as right as you, but or just as wrong. You're just as wrong as I, or I'm just as right as you, but we'll get into all that. We got a great episode planned for y'all. We're going to be talking tons of speculation. After this last episode, how can we not go deep into speculation about what is to come? A lot of things have been confirmed. A lot of reveals have been laid out before us. They have been illuminated, if you will, by the flames of death. Yes. That's right. That's what I'm going with. Also, some things are happening in the world of just Flash media in general, which we'll also talk about, but probably save that for the end, right? Like end on a down note, right? Or end on a high note. Wait, should we talk about the Ezra stuff now or let's save it? Let's save it. We'll save it. TV talk. We're here to talk about the TV, man.
That's true.
But we will talk about that. All right. That's going to get us kicked off here, man. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into the rundown. Episode 11 of season 8, Resurrection, directed by Greg Beeman and story by
Emily Palizzi.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, Ronnie begs Caitlin to save him. At Star Lab, she recognizes each of the Black Flame's victims and realizes that it has been searching for her. Despite Barry's suspicions that the Black Flame is manipulating her, she and Chester devise a plan to rescue him. She also tells Marcus, who then breaks up with her. Ronnie contacts Cecile and begs her to set him free. She feels his agony and proposes to Team Flash that they put him out of his misery. The Black Flame then goes to where Ronnie and Caitlin propose to one another, and the Flash tries to trap him in the fusion sphere. Caitlin and Frost arrive and destroy it, and Caitlin uses a quantum splicer on the Black Flame, and Ronnie is freed and then faints. Meanwhile, Allegra worries that Chester's openly sourced technology will fall into the wrong hands. And in Coast City, Tinya angrily causes Iris to disappear. Sue goes back to Central City and tells Barry. That night, Ronnie awakens and reveals to Caitlin that he isn't the real Ronnie and transforms into Deathstorm.
Dun dun dun! That's pretty good. All right, yeah. Okay, so we're gonna kind of run through this episode kind of quick. All right, there's a lot of subplots and it's all great, but I mean like the big one, right? We want to get to the big one. We want to get there kind of quickly, but there are some interesting things that happen in some of these subplots and notable things, and also you know maybe some thought provoking questions that we're being asked. But first, let's talk about Iris's time sickness. She's sick. She phased out. She's gone. But spoilers, and I think that I can say this without it being too much of a spoiler, because if you've seen just a commercial for the next episode, then you already know she'll be back. And then what you might not know is then she won't. Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
No. Explain.
Okay, so apparently Candace will be off the show for a few episodes coming up here. We don't know why, or maybe you know why. I don't know why. Belle doesn't know why. Belle didn't even know about it until I just told him.
Yeah.
Right. So it's interesting because she kind of, you know, was phased out, right? But we see that she's going to be back. We don't know why she's going to be back, but we know that she will be back. But then she's going to be gone again. So, yeah. Weird.
So, I mean, that sort of lends credence to the idea that I had where, you know, she was in Coast City because, you know, she was off the main set for whatever reason and was filming on location somewhere else. But that's so weird to bring her back and then have her not be in episodes. Like, maybe don't bring her back yet. I don't know. Like, that just sounds like the better thing. It's like, write it in that she's disappeared for a minute instead of, like, having her come back. And then all of a sudden we're like, why is she gone again?
Well, she could be on location doing, like, you know, some sort of journalism, chasing down a story overseas type situation. I mean, there's all kind of things they could do with that to make it a little bit more, you know, I mean, a little bit discombobulated, but at the same time, what's going on with her is directly tied to the larger stories. I mean, this is the reality, man. Iris is a critical component to this kind of the machine that is the Flash, right? Like, she is one of the primary characters. She's one of the tentpole characters, and then on top of that, she's directly like like the centerpiece of the Flash family. Everybody kind of connects through Iris to some extent, you know, be it through, you know, she's kind of the connection point for Wally, for Barry, for the kids, all are connected to Iris. So it is difficult. You can't just kind of remove her and have it not be addressed, especially when you're trying to tell so many different stories with time travel and the kids and everything else. So I think there's a theory that one of our listeners has proposed that we'll get into as part of the feedback later on the episode. But I think it'll kind of speak to perhaps what's really going on here. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of acknowledge it. I don't know there's a whole lot to really dig into with this story unless you've got some notable thoughts from last week. But essentially, she's gone, but she will be back, but then she won't. So that's what's going on. any other thoughts on that storyline?
I don't know. I just hope everything is going okay for her and she's not, like, you know, in some horrible situation on the set and stuff. That's and hopefully it's something where it's like, you know, she has some big role that she's going to be in or some, you know, new project that she's working on. And it's not like, you know, I just can't do this anymore, but I'm contractually obligated, you know, that I wish the best for her. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. No, we're Team Candace all the way. But I mean, like, the reality is as you're kind of alluding to, the DC television shows haven't had the best track record overall in taking care of their people. So not saying that's what's going on. We don't know. We're just wild speculating. And we don't like to wild speculate. Well, I'll put it this way. We like to wild speculate on things like time travel or, you know, multiple Earths and that sort of things. But
not about the situations that might be going on behind the scenes and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, all that to say, she'll be back, then she won't. We'll see what ends up happening there and what that ends up meaning for the time sickness, which I don't know. I still like the idea of a time pandemic. I think that's kind of cool, but I don't think that's what's going on anymore. I think it could have been cool, though. All right, so that's that. Here's the part, the subplot, though, that I found kind of a little bit fascinating because it's something that we touched on in a previous episode, and that's with Chester's streaming career. Bell, he, like you, like me, like so many, has, you know, tried his hand out on these Twitch streets here. And, you know, he tried Minecraft back when, you know, Minecraft was popping. He tried, you know, there was like a brief moment when Sea of Thieves was popping. He tried to get into that. Fortnite.
Are you talking about you?
No, I was talking about Chester, man. I'm just saying, like, this is what he's been doing. He's been trying to, like, throw everything at the screen until he sees what sticks. And then finally, he figures it out. It's not Fortnite. It's not Rubik's Cubes or whatever the kids are playing these days. It's the technology. It's the super science. It's let me show you how to create a bomb on the screen.
Or a device that reanimates the dead. That's right. That would not fall into that wrong hands at all. No.
Yeah, no. This is perfectly fine. So it's nice to see this kind of tension of this question being asked. Because, I mean, again, we did address, like, wait, can he just do this? Can he just be in, like, the R&D department of Star freaking Labs showing them all the technology behind the scenes that he, the Flash, and other super scientists are working on?
The answer is no.
Well,
funny little anecdote here. There's one YouTuber that I watch called The Backyard Scientist, and he has a story where he was talking about how, I forget which episode it was that he put out, but he put out something. It had to do something with explosives. The ATF showed up at his house, or the FBI.
Oh!
And because of the content of his video.
Right.
Because apparently, like, you know, he was, because, like, there's certain things, like, especially, like, if you're a YouTube creator, like, you can't say how to make certain things. Like, if you're an explosives channel, you can't tell people how to make explosives. And I don't think he told people, but there's enough information there. Like, he didn't violate YouTube's guidelines because the video was still up. But the FBI was like, And so they showed up at his door and he was like, oh crap.
See, now I'm a little worried because, you know, we're broadcasting, you know, we've gotten back into the kind of the live recordings and that sort of thing. And so we're using YouTube now, but the algorithm is actively listening to us and they've just heard you say bomb, FBI, like the TV Talk podcast just flagged on so many different grids right now. Like, yeah.
And like, we're gonna play some Share for you, and then it's totally gonna get flagged.
Oh yeah, well, you know, that's what it'll be. Like, we'll talk about all of these different super sciencey weapons and everything else, and then like throw in explosions and FBI here and there. But once we play the Share, that's when they're gonna shut us down.
Yeah, we could be like Chester here and sharing the literal key to ending death on our YouTube channel, and we won't get any flags. And then nope. We play 7 seconds of Return of the Mac, or, you know, If I Could Turn Back Time. And then all of a sudden, here come the copyright strike. You know,
yeah, yeah. The algorithm, that's what the algorithm truly cares about. But anyway, regardless, he was not playing he was not playing any non-royalty free music, man. He was not playing any ASCAP flagged audio. So he was just fine just putting it out there up on the Twitch streams and everything else. But I got to tell you, I kind of side with Allegra here, man. Like, you know, you could see the tension where, you know, again, as kind of, Chester has kind of presented himself and has stated very specifically that he's a pacifist. He has kind of a philosophy where he wants to believe the good in everybody or believe the best in people. And I do think that there is an admirable sense to that stance. However, he's seen some pretty terrible things in his very short tenure at Star Labs, which should at least prove that everybody is not universally good. I'm not saying he has to buy into, you know, like switch his whole philosophy and say that, you know, mankind is, you know, predominantly evil versus good. That can still be the core of him. He might still believe that mankind is good or has the potential for good or is broadly good. But he's seen that not everybody is, or at least not everybody is at first. So it's interesting. I don't know. I'm Team Allegra on this one.
Well, I will say that I am a big proponent and fan of open source software and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like for example, you know, you can look at the U.S. patent database and like you can see patents, like everybody's patents are there. Now, if you choose to go and take that idea, then you can get in legal trouble for it. But like the information's out there. And, you know, I think that kind of information should be free and open. But, you know, there's a difference between, you know, putting out, you know, here's my software that I wrote that helps, you know, using these APIs and stuff can help you find your lost items or, you know,
or edit audio. Like, no, I'm big on open source technology for sure.
Yeah.
If you're software. Yeah.
Yeah. But like we were talking about earlier, there's a difference between that and then going on YouTube and saying, here's how you make a pipe bomb.
Right.
From start to finish. Right.
Which you just said on YouTube. Thanks for that.
Well,
dear,
you know,
algorithm,
first off, you take the pipe.
Then almighty algorithm, please, please look into context of what we are saying.
But yeah, oh, and gosh. So like you know, you would think that Chester would understand that. It's like, yes, okay, so it's one thing to like have your inventions and stuff out there. It's another thing to show people how to do it from A to Z. Like there, because that's the thing is like, you know, there's a certain amount of technical skill that you might need if you're reading a schematic or a drawing or something like that. So like, you know, Chester could put that out there and then only the most technically skilled bad guys would be able to build his devices as opposed to, you know, any bad guy blowing themselves up in the garage.
Yeah, but even still, we've got like technically there's super geniuses. The super geniuses on both sides. Right. We got good super geniuses and you got the super evil genius. Most of the bad guys are super evil geniuses. You know what I mean? Like they're all making like weather controlled technology or, you know, gloves that control people or whatever Rainbow Raiders thing was. They got their super science all over the place.
He should be more careful with how he approaches his open source, you know, stuff. So, yeah, I think Allegra is not, she's not wrong. And Chester's not wrong. But, you know, you got to be careful with that stuff.
Well, that's all that she's saying. I don't think she's saying like none of the, you know, don't put anything online. I think she's just being very, you know, kind of specific, like, yeah, really? This stuff? Like, I don't know.
Don't show people the tech that brings back people from the dead. Don't put that online. Let's just Let's just leave that, you know, Team Flash exclusive.
or the freeze gun schematic that's in the background, or, you know, like they've got a bunch of
yeah, the freeze gun, you know, the thing that could, like, you know, literally stop the dude whose team that you're on.
Right, like equip all of the every single henchman on the street now is armed with Captain Cold guns.
Here's the Flash's kryptonite, basically. It's online now for anyone to see. Why did I do this? Because information should be free.
So here's the question, though, because this is kind of proposed, and I'm wondering what is going to be the outcome of this story. Is like it seems like it kind of positions the kind of the Dark Knight question, right? Like, Vanguard just proved to you it can be good. You know, like that seems seems where they're going with it. And I don't think that Allegra is going to create a test or something of that nature between the two of them. But I do, like, I think that they're, I don't know. I think that they both make some decent points. But I feel that if we kind of set it up in such a way where it's like, you know, well, I don't know. Maybe, okay, so they're trying to, they're, you know, we're about to get into it, but they're going after Deathstorm, right?
Yeah.
So might be some sort of situation where they need to get some sort of like, they had the Deathstorm Pokeball, right?
The weird artificial Speed Force thing that they just repurposed, because why build another prop when you already have one?
Okay, all right. So do you remember when Pokemon Go came out and they put out that commercial for it, and it was like, what?
I just remember Pokemon going to the polls.
All right, right. Anyway, so Pokemon Go came out, and they had this whole big event where, like, everybody had, like, was in New York City at Times Square to catch Mewtwo, and it was like, oh my gosh, that would be incredible if something like that happened. That's cool. So what if this is it? What if in order to catch Firestorm, they need everybody to have Mega Balls? And I'm talking about Mega Balls from Pokemon, right? The ones that you hit it, and it's an instant capture. And so Chester has to put out the technology to make everybody online go and make Pokeballs so that they can all go into Central City Times Square and throw it at Mewtwo, which in this case is Firestorm, Deathstorm.
So I could see something like that. Like I was in my head, I was trying to figure out how to tie this little story arc kind of thing into the main story arc, and that sort of makes sense. Like one thing that I was thinking was like, okay, well maybe like we do the Deathstorm plot line. I mean, I don't know how many episodes it's going to run. Maybe this is for the rest of the season. I don't know. But that makes sense. Because something I was thinking of where it's, you know, it's a situation where like the, you know, Chester has the information out there and somebody starts making crazy stuff and they're like beating Team Flash with Chester's tech. And then somebody else who also watches the show makes some tech to defeat this other person who is making tech. And so you kind of have like a, you know, everybody's like, Chester, why'd you put that out there? And he's like, because this information needs to be out there. And then he gets justified at the end because somebody also used his free and open source tech to defeat the bad guy that was building the bad tech or something.
Inch.
I don't know.
I
think your idea makes way more sense because it A, ties into the Deathstorm plot line and, you know, also ties up the little, you know, question around whether or not you should do it with a nice little bow.
Well, or maybe it's like we have to give everybody the power, but then we also need them to like kindly give it back after they get it. Which, I mean, you know, Tolkien would argue that's not going to happen. But like, I think that there's probably if you saw the recent Sonic movie, maybe it would. You know, it just depends on which.
I haven't seen it yet. I kind of want to, though.
You know, without kid, like it's a little long for a kid's movie. I'll just say that it's a little long for a kid's movie. I enjoyed it. Idris Elba as Knuckles is fantastic.
Which I thought that was a joke for the longest time.
No, it was legit. It was him.
I know.
Yeah. And he's really good.
And everything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is a voice acting thing, which I would not have presumed him to be very good at, but he actually did a decent job. I guess he was in, what was the one with the animals? Zootopia. He was in Zootopia and he was good in that.
Oh. No, I have seen that.
Speaking of voice acting, Ronnie's back.
Yeah. Here's my question. Is he going to voice Deathstorm?
I think he did this episode. Will he going forward? Good question. I believe he did some motion capture for this as well. But we'll have to see. Deathstorm has returned. Belle. Yes. First of all, Allegra said the thing. Okay, let's just go ahead and say that. Allegra said the thing. She said Blackest Night.
All that we're going to get about Blackest Night.
No? Okay, all right, fair enough. We're going here immediately. All right, fair enough. All right, so y'all know what this is. We're about to jump into some speedster speculation, but first we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some speedster speculation.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red
and yellow. Hold on. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster speculation.
All right, speedster speculation. The speculation is not about the future, it's about the past. Was Bell right or was Beau right? Okay, that's the question that we will be speculating on, and of course it'll tie into everything, it'll make sense. Now, for those that didn't tune in last episode, Bell speculated that we were dealing with Deathstorm, specifically Ronnie as Deathstorm. That's what
It's been since we saw the Black Flame, since that Black Flame showed up on that one episode where they go to the yoga instructor and she's got the Black Flame on her. I instantly thought Deathstorm. And I said it in there, and you can go double check it because it's there. So I've been saying I've been Team Deathstorm since Black Flame first appearance on the yoga lady who got burned to death. All right,
yeah, R.I.P. Yoga Lady, which, by the way, R.I.P. Yoga Lady, Caitlin was not shook at all. She's like, oh, that's my yoga instructor. Like, didn't even mourn her for 5 seconds, got brutally murdered. And she's like, oh, I know her.
Well, great. That's because Caitlin owed, like, you know, $800 in back pay.
That's really, you know what, that's why Ronnie did it, right? He was just trying to clear up the debts.
Caitlin owed all these people various amounts of money, and that's why she was just not shook at all by it. She's like, oh, yeah. That's actually really cool, actually. I'm kind of happy.
He's like, you know, I'm coming back. We're going to make this marriage thing work, but you've got a lot of debts that's occurred since I was last alive, so I'm just going to clear out the accounts. We could say it was I was mind-controlled or something later. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was cold of her. Anyway, point is, Deathstorm, yes, you have been Team Deathstorm. This is Deathstorm. You've been saying that forever. I have not said that it was Deathstorm. I agreed that we would be seeing Deathstorm. I agreed with you on that. I said that we would see Deathstorm. My thought, though, was that Deathstorm would just be a entity of whatever this actually is. Now, in this episode, we saw him, and I think we're going to continue seeing him. We're going to continue seeing Deathstorm. He named himself Deathstorm. But, and this is critical, he's not Ronnie. So, Belle, who is Deathstorm? Okay, like, who is Deathstorm really? Is Deathstorm Ronnie as a zombified villain? Or is Deathstorm just a name and a thing? You see what I'm saying? Like,
so, we all know...
You've been saying, because I kept on saying, it's not, they're not making Ronnie a killer. They're not bringing him back to make him a killer. That's what I've been arguing for the longest whenever the Deathstorm conversation comes up. Yes, we're going to see Deathstorm. Yes, we'll even see Ronnie. But I guarantee that thing is not Ronnie. And but guess Ronnie's, what? Ronnie's, I was right.
No, you're not right.
I am right. That's not Ronnie.
No, Cecile and Caitlin were both right on here. So here's the deal. Here, Firestorm is two people.
You're just trying to both sides everything. Okay, keep going.
I'm not. This is the truth, and this is how it's going to come down. And if not, I'll eat a hat on camera. Maybe a hat made out of gummies or something like that.
You like eating hats. Yeah, I mean, this is not a punishment for you. This is just a normal Tuesday, but keep going. Yeah.
So here's the deal, right? Firestorm, you know, it's two people, and they merged together to become Firestorm. So when Ronnie went into... the thing, he split out human vampire. What's his name? That's a legend.
Human vampire?
Yeah. Gosh, why can't I remember his name?
Morbius.
No, the guy who was originally Firestorm with Ronnie.
Blade. Oh, wait. The guy who was originally Firestorm with Ronnie. Wait, why is he a human vampire?
It's a Legends joke. It's a deep cut. It's a deep cut.
Okay, all right, it's a Legends cut. All right, fair enough. Professor Stein.
Professor Stein, yes, Professor Stein. It's a deep cut from Legends. so Professor Stein made it out
to our two Legends fans. They just got to our two Legends fans,
but they loved that. That was pretty awesome.
That is great. Okay, good for them.
Long time Legends listener, will really appreciate that. But Dr. Stein was kicked out, right, of the Firestorm Matrix when Ronnie went up in there. And right. What happened was, is as they mentioned, he merged with the Singularity or something like that. So there's still two people in there. There's Ronnie, who is saying, please help me and kill me and get me out of this suffering. And then there's the black hole dark entity, which is what Deathstorm is right now.
That's not Ronnie. So you're saying it's that Ronnie people. Is... Okay, but...
Ronnie is dead, and he's being held against his will by this black hole entity thing. That's why Cecile... got this overwhelming emotional thing from the entity that it wanted to be set free and be freed.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. But okay. So fair enough. I'm not opposed to this, but I guess my point is still that that's not Ronnie. I mean, even if it's Ronnie trapped, right? If it's Ronnie's body or Ronnie's soul or what have you, and it's like the thing that whatever this actually is using, then that's fine. I get that. That's cool. I'm down. But I told you they wouldn't bring Ronnie back just to make him a killer, and that's not what's going
on here.
They're going
to bring him back, and then they're going to get rid of the Firestorm or the Deathstorm entity, and then Ronnie's going to die again officially.
So here's the big question. What is Deathstorm? I'll do you one better. Sorry, go ahead. I'll tell you.
Why is Deathstorm?
I'll do you one better. When is Deathstorm? No, seriously. So what is this? Because this is specific. All right, you and I agree, then, it sounds like, that whilst Ronnie may or may not be in there, or the body that's being used here, that it is something else that is controlling what's going on. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're agreed. We're agreed.
Ronnie's imprisoned. It is Ronnie, but it's also Deathstorm.
Ronnie might be the prison.
Maybe? And now it's able to, come out? I don't know, but... But yeah, so it is Ronnie,
mm-hmm.
and it is Deathstorm. But right now, just like when Firestorm happens and Dr. Stein was in the back of Firestorm's head,
mm-hmm.
that's what Ronnie is right now. So because of that fusion matrix thing.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you.
Yeah, they can't split into two people.
So who's the other person? Trapped. Who's the other person? What is the other? That is my big question. That is the massive question mark blank. What is this thing? Because we've seen avatars of death before, right? Like the Black Flash, to some extent, is an avatar of death for speedsters. But I don't know that this is Zolomon. I don't know that this is the Black Flash come back as Ronnie.
I think it's something completely different that we hadn't seen before. I don't think it's going to be comic book related. I think it's some sort of primordial evil that was in the black hole.
Pass. Why would they do that? I feel like there needs to be more than that, right?
I mean, they're not going to bring in lanterns. I'm sorry, they're not.
Okay, all right, but hear me out.
No,
hear me out. All right, so let's say that you're right. Let's say that the best they did was they tossed us, you know, a freebie. With Allegra saying the thing, okay? Let's say that that's the case. That's it. She said the thing. You satisfied? We're going to do something different. That's cool. They're already doing something different. I have no problem with them doing something different. That's fine. But since we're already here now, why not have a Blue Lantern Flash or some equivalent of a Blue Lantern Flash? Maybe if we find out that this thing is like despair incarnate, Barry has to figure out some way to channel hope and merge with some sort of entity of hope, if you will. But this is feeling a lot like the forces from last season, and that kind of makes me feel a kind of way. So I don't know.
They've also kind of done that with the Paragons, right?
Yeah, and I guess he's supposed to be the Paragon of Love.
Who was the Paragon of Hope? That was Kara. Hold on.
Supergirl, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So Kara was the Supergirl, or the Supergirl of Hope is what I almost said. Which, that threw me for a loop, because I figured if anybody was going to be Hope, it was going to be Barry, because, you know, that was... I kind of thought the Paragon things were going to tie into their
Blackest
War
Night.
Of Light. Yeah, Black of Night, War of Light personas and whatnot, but they didn't do that. And so...
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, we've already seen Barry rocking a custom Reverse Flash costume. Okay. There's perhaps speculation that we might see other custom new costumes kind of coming into play. Thus far as I have seen, and you know, I try to stay out of it, but I have not seen anything blue. So this is just me wild speculating here, but I think there's an opportunity. I mean, like, there's Deathstorm. He's right there. We see him. You know, he's comic book accurate. Like that's Deathstorm. So if we're playing around with this sandbox, why not throw a blue Flash suit in here, you know?
Well, I kind of have to wonder, you know, when we saw Deathstorm, when he finally, like, popped out, he was kind of blue. And so I'm thinking that they might not do a blue suit, even though that is what the color for Hope is in the War of Light, because it would look too similar. So
I don't think that's right. I don't think that would be the reason not to do it. I think either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it.
And you think they're going to do it.
You don't think they're going to do it.
No.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
There will be no lantern rings and no nothing like that at all this season.
They toyed around with some of this back in the day with Rainbow Raider. Do you remember this? Like, they toyed around with the whole, like, emotional spectrum. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there might be something like that, but we're not going to see lantern rings. They might use the emotional spectrum to...
I'm not saying... You keep bringing up the lantern rings. I'm with you on that. I'm not arguing that per se. Although I did think this would be a great opportunity. Like, it's a missed opportunity to not bring in Diggle as Green Lantern, given the fact that they've teased that so much that it's like, you know, we promise, we super duper promise, cross our hearts and hope to Deathstorm, you know, like, I don't know. It just seems like this would be a prime opportunity to at least bring Diggle back in, even if they're not going for full War of Light, which they're clearly not. It's just, you know, I don't know. I want a blue suit. I want a blue suit. I want Grant in a blue suit. That's what I want.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't think it's going to be a blue suit, though. Like, I don't know. No lanterns. Maybe they'll do the emotional spectrum. And bring that back up.
I would hope so. Yeah.
That's been established. That is something that... that is there. Now, the other avenue that I think they could go is, I mean, and maybe they'll bring this up again, is the Paragon of Love would be the, but it's not the opposite of, like,
it's lavender or death. Purple or whatever it is, the but, color for love. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's not, you know,
I'd say he couldn't pull off purple, but at the same time, I didn't think he'd be able to pull off yellow when he did. So I don't know. Maybe Grant Gustin could just pull off anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a gift. He's a gift. Y'all didn't even know how good it was. We didn't know how blessed we were to have Grant Gustin as our Flash. And every day, every day, it seems like we were reminded what a treasure he is. What an honor it is to have him in the red or yellow or purple, apparently, or blue. Please, blue. I want blue. Am I blue? All right. So here's the deal. You're saying that whoever's really kind of controlling Firestorm, this is some sort of death entity or some sort of, like, dark primordial entity that was in the singularity. That tracks. I hear that. I'm going to throw this out here. It is possible that if they wanted to, they could play around with the notion of bringing back Zolomon, right, as the Black Flash, possibly even separate the Black Flash from Zolomon to some extent. Maybe use this as some sort of storyline to do that. Restore Zolomon to being, you know, Professor Zoom, as opposed to kind of the weird kind of convoluted story he had in the early days. It's going to be a cleanup season, you know, go around, like, clean up the continuity a little bit, get these characters a little bit more, you know, accurate, you know, it could be something they're doing there. So it'd be cool if they did tie that in to Zolomon in some form or fashion. Don't know if they will, just throwing that out there. That could be cool. The other thing, as I mentioned before, is possibly like a Black Hand or just the, I don't know, like the entity of death. Remember how in the War of Light, like all the different Lantern Corps have kind of these like primordial beast light creature things that are basically the source of all their power?
Yeah.
What was the one for death? Do you remember? Or was Black Hand actually the one for death? Like was that the deal?
Necron. Yeah, Necron or Necrod?
No, that's right. He had like a
The big giant lantern battery.
Yeah, and it was like a scythe. He had like a lantern scythe.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so maybe that's who we're dealing with here. Or some version of that. A ringless apparent version of that, maybe.
So yeah, you know, I mean, if we're gonna just continue to speculate about like the War of Light, what if they just brought back the Black Lantern Anti-Monitor and Flash had to fight him?
Ooh. They probably wouldn't do that. That's awesome, though. That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
That's a really cool idea. But they probably won't do that. Anyway, all right. So there you go. Those are our speculations. We want to hear from you. Send in your thoughts. And let's think through this together. Man, we actually, like I mentioned, had some speculation coming in from listener Craig. What did Craig have to say?
Hey, guys. So I believe you slightly mentioned it when the time sickness first appeared. But in my opinion, it is definitely related to Iris becoming pregnant. It makes perfect sense with everything that has happened so far in this season. Dion mentioned that it was coming from her and not happening to her, which supports this because time is recognizing that she is about to have two time travelers growing within her.
Hmm.
Also, by showing the kids the future running around fixing time, it further confirms this for me because we will definitely go back to them later in the season. I think they are peppering in the kids' storyline and Iris' storyline, and at some point they will converge and it will be revealed that she's pregnant. I'm not exactly sure where they will take it from there, but I'm sure there will be some MacGuffin to defeat it, to defeat in order to ensure she has the twins as she is supposed to. Maybe Eobard, LOL. P.S. Maybe Ronnie is a Ronnie from a different Earth that got blended in Crisis. Thanks again. Love the podcast, Craig. Craig, yes, interesting. I've been wondering about that since we've seen the twins. Like, are they going to do an episode where she's pregnant with the twins? And, like, they haven't, and they've kind of, like, dodged around it and stuff, and I know Barry and Iris have been trying, but like they haven't really gone anywhere with it. That would be interesting to go that route with it and be like, oh yeah, it's because the twins, they're time travelers, it's coming from her. I think that's a great idea. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the only trick to that is that babies are difficult on set. Hence why we haven't seen, you know, Iris's sister in a very long time. Like, that's I would be shocked if she comes back
with
twins.
They're going to send them to time nursery school.
That's not great. We don't want that for Nora and Bart. We want them to grow up with their mommy and daddy.
Well, yeah, but they will. But like, it'll just be like, you know, they'll be born and then we won't see the kids. We will only see Nora and Bart as adults.
Pocket universe type situation. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. I think that makes a lot of sense, Greg. You're right. That would track, you know, time sickness, like morning sickness type situation. I could see that. You know, I realized.
Oh, wait, We got to touch on one more thing. The Ronnie from a Ronnie. Ronnie is a Ronnie from another Earth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
We had the singularity. I don't know. Like, it's possible. Maybe this Ronnie is an evil Ronnie, and when it came into this universe, that perhaps that's why it knew all this stuff about Caitlin, and that the thing I said earlier about Cecile, you know, thinking that the entity wanted to be set free and like put out of its misery, basically, was just, I don't know, something else. But yeah, I mean that's interesting. We'll have to check it out and see if that tracks.
I mean, one way or the other, that's true, right? Like, everybody post-crisis is a blend of who they were before. So, theoretically, there could be something to be said there. We know it impacted certain individuals differently, like Wells, but at the same time, I don't know. Firestorm's an interesting entity. Like, it takes two to make the thing go right. So, it's very possible that that's the case. Yeah. And maybe we are dealing with, like, an evil Ronnie mixed in with our Ronnie or something of that nature. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Speaking of speaking of evil doppelgangers, I've got an interesting theory, Bell.
Okay.
I've got a theory that this Flash movie is never gonna see the light of day. I don't want this Flash movie to see the light of day. I'll just go ahead and say it on the record right now. Hashtag cancel the Flash movie, please. Please. Hashtag Flashpoint, Flashpoint before Flashpoint, Flashpoints.
I don't know.
Like, I've been saying since the beginning. Nobody's saying he doesn't have problems. Okay, like that's fine. That is fine. Okay? But I've got a wild theory. You want to hear my theory?
Yes.
Okay, so Ezra got cast as the Flash, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ezra, super talented, right?
Right.
Just a future, a beautiful future laid out right there to just reach out and grasp, right?
Be careful with your choice of words there. Reach out and grasp.
By the neck. No. I'm talking about the future.
He has a career he can just grab by the throat.
Just grab it by the throat. No. I can understand why you thought I was going there. I'm not going there. Although I've been going there because I've been telling y'all. Anyway, so point is, here's my situation. Here's my theory. I was sitting back. I was thinking about this. I was like, man. So one, two, now three. My goodness. Are we sure that this is all Ezra? Are we sure that this is all the same Ezra? Because need I remind you that there was someone who came back in time and appeared multiple times throughout the timeline to destroy a prominent future for somebody named that was going to be the Flash. And that was Eobard Thawne. I'm saying, what if all of these incidents, all right, you got these, it's a crisis of infinite Ezras, and they're all multiple doppelgangers from the future that have come back in time, and they've all schemed together. They're like, we're gonna ruin Ezra Miller. And that's my theory. It's not funny. It's not funny. Clearly Ezra's got issues. This is known. This is clear. Everybody who does terrible things to people has issues, but they don't get to be superstars. You know what I mean? Like, no, we need to cancel this movie, y'all. Ezra needs help, and we need to cancel this movie. Please.
Yeah, but it's got Michael Keaton as Batman in it.
I'm not going to see the Flash movie, man. I was looking forward to parts of it. But now I'm just looking forward to it being done. They don't even need to try to pull a Multiverse of Madness right now. That's a bad move on DC's part.
Man, DC's whole, like, Shazam is really the only good DC movie. There, I said it.
Well, in DCEU is what you're talking DCEU, about. I mean, like, yeah. The Batman was fantastic. I mean, like, they've had,
the Batman was excellent, yeah. The
Joker! Very thoughtful. Like, they've got good movies. Like, DC can make good movies. They cannot, in their current setup, manage a good franchise. They can't. Like, intertwined, you know, interconnected universe on the big screen. They did it forever in animation. Like, they did it forever in animation.
They pioneered it in animation.
Yes, that predated the MCU. Look at it. They need to recreate that model, but in live action.
Or, I say don't. Like, their best films outside.
Money on the table, man. No, come on. There's money on the table in that if they do it right.
I mean, there's money on the table for making a bunch of individually good movies. Like, look at Batman, like you said. Look at Joker. Those were great movies.
Yeah.
And they worked well.
Yeah.
And, like, comic books as a whole don't have to be all interconnected and stuff.
No, they don't. But, I mean, like, I understand the desire to do so. I think they had an opportunity a while back, and they botched it, and probably because
you got to strike while the iron's hot. The iron is cold now. Do something different. You can't be Marvel. You're not gonna.
I don't know. All right. Another Sonic reference. I just watched Sonic with the kids. Right. I just watched Sonic with the kids, and I was sitting here thinking about, like, the way in which they've structured the universe that movie's in, and I'm like, I mean, I kind of want to see him team up with Mario.
Wait, is there?
No, but I mean, like, we saw it at the end of the first. Did you see the first Sonic movie?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, like, he ends up on, like, a mushroom planet and everything.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like, you know, it's funny, but then you're like, ooh, mushroom planet. Is this like an interconnected world? Is that like, is this a Mario reference? Could we see a Sonic versus Mario?
I mean, you understand that Sonic is Sega and Mario is Nintendo, right?
Yeah, but that could be like, I mean, you understand that, you understand that Toby is Sony and Tom is Well, I guess technically also Sony. Never mind. Better example. All right. Yeah. They're also
terrible example.
All right. Yeah. Anyway.
That'll happen. All I'm saying is that I think that DC is primed to make really good standalone films.
I agree. And they have. And they can.
And they have, and they can. And that's what they're good at. That's what they've shown that they're good at. And so keep doing that. Like, that's the thing is, you know, these characters are so popular now that you don't need to have interconnected giant universes like Marvel does. I mean, you can be different.
Well, right? You got to make us want more. You can't just, like, give us everything. You got to make us want it. Yeah, so don't, I like, mean, go, like, even if you don't, like, that's the thing. Like, build it up slow. Do these individual projects. And if you start getting the rumblings of people like, oh, how cool would it be if, you know, the Flash teamed up with such and such? And then it's like, oh, okay, there's interest in this. Let's explore that, you know?
But the problem is that, like, you know, not to speak ill of the fans, but, like, the fans sometimes don't even know what they want, or they think what they want would be cool, and it's not.
It all just kind of depends. I don't know.
Because, I don't know. I mean, you look at, like, you know, fans wanted more Harry Potter, and now we have these, you know, the Grindelwald.
Hashtag not my Harry Potter. Yeah, hashtag I didn't. Who are these fans that wanted more Harry Potter?
Well, and you see that the films are tanking because nobody wants it.
I literally fell asleep during the second one.
I haven't seen any of them because they
also I felt like somebody just out of here. I was, you know, I was watching it the first one and I didn't even realize he was in it until suddenly I couldn't breathe and then I was, what's going on? And then I realized it's Ezra. He's in that movie. Get rid of him. Sorry. Get him help, is what I mean.
WB just has a problem with problematic actors, right? They recast Johnny Depp after the allegations came out against Amber Heard. They recast Ezra, I think. They're basically going through and, like, recasting this bad guy in every single film. And maybe just stop making those films. They're performing poorly. Controversy around the whole thing.
Yeah.
With JK, again, not to get political or anything, but, like, just stop. Like, make original films.
I'm not fully in the camp. Like, don't get me wrong. I do also like original films. I have no problem with remakes or retakes or anything. Again, the Batman was fantastic. That's the 30 gazillionth Batman movie that we got, but there's still more that you can mine there. I think there is actually value in taking established franchises and characters and otherwise and modernizing them or putting them into the lexicon of the day or whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, you can do both. Like you can do both. I think you should do both. Yeah. Yeah. What I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying about that. Why is Legends of Tomorrow suddenly trending on Twitter? Obviously, I'm never even on Twitter anymore. I just like pulled it up and like Legends of Tomorrow.
They're fighting for a renewal. I'm not sure if they got it. But maybe if they're trending on Twitter, that means they did get it.
Look, if you want a quality Flash movie, you want a quality Flash movie? Do you want a quality Flash? Bell, would you like a quality Flash movie?
You know, honestly, like with the direction that we're going, I want a quality Flash movie that has nothing to do with the DCEU at all.
Well, no. Okay, you want a quality Flash movie that has nothing to do with the DCEU at all, period? You want that?
Yeah.
All right, go back and watch the first five episodes of this season. And that is what I'm going to tell everybody who is looking for a quality Flash movie, because we got a quality Flash. Grant is out here killing it. We didn't even know. We weren't respecting him back in the day, saying he looked too skinny. No, don't you dare, okay? Grant Gustin has been a treasure to us. All right?
He has. He should be the... If they're going to do Flash, make him be the DCEU Flash. Just do it.
I mean, like, that's the thing. It could be a different universe. You know, it's a multiverse. It can be a different one. Like, whatever. Anyway, point is, it's fine. It's fine. I think they just need to. It's a wash. It's frustrating because, like, I've been sitting back for months with this Ezra. Okay. I've been sitting back for months. And it's like, really still?
I'm sorry, though. I am going to go see the movie unless they cancel it. I just want to see Michael Keaton in the Batman suit.
I want to see it, too. I mean, I want to see that.
We'll just pirate it, then. Steal it. Who cares?
I mean, we no. See, you're trying to get us kicked off. You've been, like, flagging the algorithm all up. Anyway, all right, man. We got to wrap it up and call it. Y'all, thanks so much for watching. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. And y'all can, of course, tweet us in your thoughts. Hey, what do you think? Is it a wash? Should they just kind of cancel the Flash movie and go forward? Do you think we just release it and kind of see what happens? Do we need a new Flash? Is Ezra right to continue on the role? Tell us your thoughts. Tweet us your thoughts. At TV Talk FM is the place to do it. You can, of course, find all of our contact information and more at tvtalk.fm. By the way, there has been some confusion about how to email into the show as of late, and so I apologize for that. Going to get that all cleared up, and you will find the information at tvtalk.fm. So go there, and it'll be there by the time this goes live. So that's going to do it for me and for Belle, but don't worry. We'll be back in a flash. Scene.